Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 11, starting with verse 33. It is found on page 161 of the New Testaments of our pew Bibles. Listen to the word of the Lord. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are God's judgments and how inscrutable God's ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to God to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join your hearts with mine in a moment of prayer. God, quiet our minds and still our hearts, that we might be open to receiving and hearing your word for us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. I'll say first that the sermon doesn't have a title. It's not entitled Highways, as Lou's sermon would have been. Feel free to come up with a title and let me know afterwards. Anna Carter Florence, she is a brilliant preaching professor at Columbia Theological Seminary. And when you need a sermon in a pinch, you turn to her for advice. She's a woman for whom I have much adoration, and her words came to me this morning. I remember her saying once, preach the verbs. She says that we pastor types like to preach the adjectives. We like to show you everything that we know about the time and the place, about how much a denarii is worth today, and what the social expectations and norms of Jesus' time were. We like to paint a picture of the world of the text for you to look at with all of our knowledge and all of our adjectives. But ultimately, that keeps the text at arm's length. Adjectives are out here. So, Anna Carter Florence says, preach the verbs. Because the verbs don't change. The same verbs that they were busy doing, we are still busy doing today. And so when we preach the verbs, we enter into the world of the text. We don't simply look at it. We are as close to the text as our own being. Verbs are known in our core. Verbs are shaped by our own muscle memory and our daily routine. Verbs linked to our deepest longings and our greatest fears. And so luckily for this preacher who had to write her sermon this morning, Isaiah gives us a lot of verbs. In fact, in the first three verses of Isaiah 55, we have 12 imperative verbs. 12 verbs of the strongest urging. 12 verbs spoken by Isaiah on behalf of the divine with absolute authority. Verbs that we can imagine have their own exclamation point after them. Verbs spoken like, I speak to our dog Tiberius. Sit! Exclamation point. No bite! Exclamation point. Up! No. Down! 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 verbs that pack a punch, verbs whose meaning is in their delivery as much as it is in their definition. And so I invite us this morning to think about the verbs, to hear them as imperatives, spoken not only to the Israelite people who were at this time in exile in Babylon, but spoken also to us on this very day. Listen again to the word of God, this time from the Common English Bible translation. This is the first three verses. All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money, come buy food and eat. Without money, at no cost, buy wine and milk. Why spend money for what isn't food, and your earnings for that that does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Enjoy the richest of feast. Listen and come to me. Listen and you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful loyalty to David. To understand where these verbs landed with their original audience, you do need some adjectives. You cannot miss the fact that these are words addressed to a people who have been conquered and are now living in exile. These are a people struggling daily. They are far away from their homes, far away from their places of worship, from their familiar, and for many of them, from their families. Their day in and day out is dictated by a people and a power that cares so very little for their well-being, who counts their bodies as the spoils of war, justified riches of their labor. And so, to these forgotten and tossed aside people, buying, eating, and enjoying, you skipped a page. No, we didn't. Ooh. And so, to these forgotten and tossed aside people, buying, eating, and enjoying the riches of a feast are a faint memory. To them, these words must have seemed, at first, frivolous. They describe a meal beyond their greatest expectation and hope, a meal that would, in fact, in its richness, make them sick to their stomachs. Moreover, the words are called out by Isaiah like a street vendor. Come, listen, come, buy, eat. I have what you need. Come out of your homes, come into the streets, buy and eat. Think of the ice cream truck singing down the street on a hot and sticky day, but you have got no money to enjoy the treat. In fact, you struggle to remember what the treat of ice cream even tastes like. And God calls out to these people. God speaks to them, the powerless, the forgotten, the exiled, the overlooked, the mourning, the oppressed, and the starving. And this is what God declares. Come, buy, eat, and listen. Come, you who are thirsty, whose desires the world cannot quench, come. Come, you who are hungry, who have been told you have no place at the table, come. Come, you who are little, who are so often overlooked that you therefore cannot wait to grow up. Come. Come, you who are big, who reminisce about the carefree yesteryears, who feel weighed down with responsibility. Come. Come, you who are young, who are told your wiggles and your giggles have no place here, come. Come, you who are old, who have been told that your bodies and your minds no longer matter, come. Come, you who are full of faith, who feel most at home in this place, and come, you who are full of doubt, who feel your questions have yet to find a home, come. Isaiah continues, whoever has no money, come. Buy food and eat. Without money, at no cost, buy wine and milk. Buy. That is, participate. Participate with mutuality and respect. Participate in this place where money and status and the status it carries should not matter, because we are about a deeper fellowship than what capitalism can buy. In Isaiah's imperative, buy, may we hear this prayer, that our faith community be a place where all can indeed purchase, where all can join in, no matter their age, no matter their knowledge, no matter their zip code or their wealth or their lack thereof, no matter their race or their creed, may this be a place where all can find satisfaction, that is, belonging, identity, fulfillment, and relationship. And may it be that place, not just for those of us who worship here on Sunday morning, but for all who walk our halls, be they the tiny little children of CPNS or the worn-down caretakers of Al-Anon, be they the friends at senior fellowship or senior exercise or the strangers of AA, be they the recipients of food from Skeet's Pantry or the do-gooder dropping off their donation, may this place be a place where they can come and buy, come and participate, come and join in, come and eat. Eat. Eat what is good, Isaiah preaches. Enjoy the richest of feast. Eat, no matter your allergies or food sensitivities. Eat. No matter if this is your second breakfast or your first in weeks, eat. No matter if you are full of faith or running on empty, eat. Eat no matter if you know the person sitting beside you or not, eat. Because the feast is abundant. It is rich and plentiful and good. It came from pure sources. No child labored or slave traded or river polluted or earth degraded for this meal. This meal satisfies, not with the fake fulfillment of processed sugars, but with the sweetest of memories, the food of saints, Karen Moutineau's Christmas muffins, and Janet and George's session retreat omelets. And listen. Listen carefully. Listen and come, listen and eat. Listen, Isaiah says, and you will live. Isaiah continues on behalf of God in verse 4. Look, I made David a witness to the peoples, a prince and a commander of peoples. Look, you will call a nation you do not know, a nation you do not know will run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, who has glorified you. Listen to God, a God who makes promises and who graciously keeps them, a God who works in steadfast love and kindness and faithful loyalty always, a God who speaks from the most unexpected places, a God who speaks to us even when we are in exile, a God who causes far-off and estranged peoples to come running towards each other, a God who glorifies. And Isaiah concludes, seek. Another imperative verb. Seek the Lord when he can still be found. Call him while he is yet near. Let the wicked abandon their ways and their sinful schemes. Let them return to the Lord so that they may have mercy, so that he may have mercy on them, to our God, because God is generous with forgiveness. My plans are not your plans, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, my plans than your plans. Seek God. Know that God is near, that God can be found, and that God can be called upon. God will turn us from our sinful ways. By God's grace alone, may we abandon all that is wicked within us, all that keeps us from joining, from eating, from sharing, and from listening. Because our God is a God of mercy, whose generosity and whose forgiveness knows no ending. God's plans are not like ours, nor are God's ways like our ways. No, God's ways are so much higher than our own, and God's plans far exceed our wildest imaginations. If you doubt God's mercy, I invite you to remember this. We are in the season of Lent, making our way with Jesus towards Jerusalem and to the cross. In Jerusalem, with God's chosen people, along with Jesus' closest friends, we will perpetrate the ultimate act of rebellion, handing over and killing God's own Son on a cross. But God will meet us there on that very cross with the ultimate act of redemption, God raising Jesus from the dead. On that cross, our ultimate act of rebellion is met with God's ultimate act of redemption. So, friends, CPNS board members and families, Cranberry Prez regulars and first-time visitors, come by, eat, and listen. These are the verbs. They require our action. In fact, they expect our action. They are verbs shared in the imperative, proclaimed by Isaiah with every expectation and exclamation that we will indeed come by, eat, and listen. And that takes work. We will fail. We will miss the mark. We will get it wrong. We will need to apologize. But we will try again for the sake of the most vulnerable among us. Come by, eat, and listen. These are the verbs. Hold them as close as your heart. And in these verbs, may you know, trust, seek, and believe God. For God is indeed a God of love, whose forgiveness knows no ending, and whose faithfulness endures forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.